This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Today, Lag BaOmer is not only the yahrzeit, the Yom HaDehilula of the Rashbi, but is also the yahrzeit of one of the great all-time poskim and leaders of the Jewish people, Rav Moshe Isserles, the Rama. Thousands throughout the world flock to the kever of the Rama today on Lag BaOmer. The Rama, of course, is the Baal HaMapa, the one who wrote the glosses to the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch is called the set table. However, the Rama disagreed with the approach of the Shulchan Aruch, which is to take the majority opinion of the Rif, the Rambam, and the Rush, and the Rama says, "Ein lamedim min haklalim." We can't learn from generalities, from general rules, especially this general rule that doesn't take into account the opinion of the Baalei HaTosfos and the Chachmei Ashkenaz. And therefore, the Rama reformulated the halacha based and taking into account the psakim of the Baalei HaTosfos. And the Rama wrote glosses on the Shulchan Aruch. The original print of the Shulchan Aruch, the comments of Rabbi Yosef Karo were written in Ksav Ashuris, and the Rama's comments were written in Rashi Oisiyos to be able to differentiate the Shita of the Mechaber from the Shita of the Rama. And since the yahrzeit of the Rama, the Patira of the Rama, which was in 1572 in Krakow, now some say the Rama was born in 1530 and he only lived 42 years. In all likelihood, he was probably born in 1520. He lived 52 years. But there is a legend that he was born in 1539. In that case, that means he was born, he only lived 33 years. He lived Lag Shanim, and he was Nifter on Lag Ba'omer. We will examine that soon. But be it as it may, since that first Lag Ba'omer in 1572, thousands annually flock to the kever of the Rama, and many of the great Rabbanim, who are Rabbanim in Krakow, would deliver a yahrzeit drasha on or around the time of the yahrzeit of the Rama. So, for instance, I have over here the Oitzrois Yosef, and I have the drasha that Rabbi Yosef Engel, who is a Rav in Krakow, delivered on the Shabbos before Lag BaOmer in the Rama's shul. So I have over here, Rishima HaRayonos LeDrashas Shabbos Lefnei Lag BaOmer Besek Knesses Rama. Reb Shimon Sofer, who was a Rav in Krakow, every year would deliver a drasha on the yahrzeit of the Rama. When Reb Shimon Sofer passed away, the Rav of Krakow was Rabunim Sofer, and he, on one particular Lag BaOmer, he delivered the following astounding thought. Do you know what parsha we always lay in the week of the yahrzeit of the Rama? Emor! Oisi Ois Rama, followed by Bahar Bechukaisai, says Rav Bunim Sofer. Emor Bahar Bechukaisai, Emor, the Piskei Rama. We say, B'nei Yisrael Yoytzim B'yad Rama. The Piskei Rama, Emor, Rama, Bahar. It's like given on Har Sinai Bechukaisai, a statute from Har Sinai. Emor Bahar Bechukaisai, whatever the Rama says, it's like given on that mountain as a statute from Moshe. In fact, there is a quip that was said by one of the great Talmidim of the Rama. The Rama's Talmidim, well-known Talmidim, of course, were the Marshal. Marshal was one of the main Talmidim of the Rama. Reb Chaim, the brother of the Maral of Prague, was the Talmud of the Rama. Well, the Marshal once said about the Rama, "Mi Moshe ad Moshe loikam kemoshe," from the Rambam. From the Rambam until the Rav Moshe Isserles, nobody arose like Rav Moshe Isserles. In fact, there was a very interesting common denominator between the Rambam and the Rama, and that is they both were proponents of studying philosophy. But there was one major distinction, and that is the Rambam sort of had different compartments. He had a Mor Nevuchim for philosophy, and he had a Yad Chazaka for halacha. The Rama blended the two. He blended philosophy with halacha, as evident in the Sefer the Rama called Toiras Ha'ilah. The Rama believed that when Chazal say you could be Metayel Bepardes after being Malei Kresoi Shasim Poiskim, what does it mean to be Metayel Bepardes? The Rama held Tayel Bepardes refers to learning philosophy. And the Ramaz, in general, was a proponent of studying secular studies to some small measure and to some small extent. In fact, the Ramaz writes in Ashalas Tshuvos, Ehoiv Apaltoin, love Plato. Ehoiv Aristo, love Aristotle. V'yasa'emes ohev mekal, but love truth above all. But be it as it may, his student, the Marshal, did not agree with him on that particular point. But the Ramaz Shita in general was, if you see a statement of Chazal, as much as possible, if it could be reconciled with the wisdom of the times and with philosophy and science, one should try to do so. Certainly if one is not able to, the Ramaz says, Im Kabbalah hi nekabel, but as much as possible to Mekarev el Aseichel, the Divrei Chazal. Now, just to share with you briefly a few of the, we mentioned that Rav Bunim Sofer Darshan on the yard side of the Ramah in Krakow, Emar Bahar B'chukais, in one particular year he was not feeling well, he did not have the wherewithal to innovate new chidushim, so he sent a message to his cousin, the Shevet Sofer in Pressburg, to send him some of his chidushim. So Rav Shevet Sofer sent him, it was the week of Bahar B'chukais, he said, here are chidushim l'seder, oy doy doy, oy ben doy doy yigalenu. Your uncle or your cousin will bail you out. The play on words that it says in Bahar, oy doy doy, oy ben doy doy yigalenu. In other words, I'm bailing you out on this occasion that you're not able to be mechadesh your own chidushim. One of the very major shitos of the Ramah is the importance of Minhag Yisrael. The Ramah writes in the Darkei Moshe Sim Sadi Gimel, this is my custom based on the minog, even though it's a chumrah without an exact reason. Furthermore, the Rama writes, he was machmir by a certain treifas, but based on the prevalent minog. And the Rama is known to write Be'in Lazalzel, the Minog Yisrael. Now I want to speak out a very interesting innovation of the Ramah, which is not so well known. The Ramah was Mechadesh, the following principle in Halacha, which is really the basis of the last era of Rabbanos. This is a major Chiddush of the Ramah. And that is the Ramah will sometimes add to his Psak. It's Asur. Unless it's a pressing circumstance, and one will suffer a very big loss. This is a chidush of the Ramah, that the halacha depends on circumstance. Nobody before the Ramah ever said such a concept, except for Rishonim. But among the Achronim, none of the Poiskim ever said, you know, it's Asur, but if it's a Shas Hadchak or a Hefsid Merubah, if it's a pressing circumstance or a significant loss of money, you could be Mekal. Yes, we find in Shas, Lehefsid Muat Loi Chashashu, Lehefsid Merubah Chashashu. Or, like we find in the Gemara in Shabbos, Kuf Chav Gimel and Beis, Psach and Beis and Beis, or we find in Chulin Mem Tes, the Torah is Chas on Mom and Shel Yisrael. But that's only, is it Mutter, is it Asur? When, in terms of formulating the halacha of if something is Mutter or Asur, Chazal took into account Hefsid Merubah, Hefsid Muat. But once the halacha is established, we don't look at the particular circumstance. Is it Mutter? Is the person in this circumstance suffering a loss, or the person not suffering a loss? Once the halacha is established, it doesn't matter for who, it doesn't matter what the circumstances are. The Ramah was the first to be mechadesh the halacha, that for an ani it could be mutter, and for an usher it could be usher. That if the chicken costs a lot of money, it's mutter, the chicken doesn't cost a lot of money, it's usher. Nobody ever established such a principle, halacha l'maisa. Either the halacha, either it's mutter or usher. No! The Ramah innovated the concept that halacha depends on a particular circumstance based on the rule hakol lefi ha'inyan lefi ra'is enei amayra. And l'chayra, the Ramah got the basis of this idea from his Rebbe, the Maharam Padva. Maharam Padva from Italy was a Rebbe and a relative of the Ramah. In fact, Rav Meir Katzenellenbogen, the Maharam Padva who we're speaking about, requested of the Ramah when the Maharam Padua was already 80 years old, the Maharam Padua had published a new edition of the Mishnah Torah, and other people in Poland were selling a newer edition, and the Maran Padua petitioned the Rama to not allow these people to publish their version of the Mishneh Torah, saying that he had the patent on the printing of the Mishneh Torah. And if you look in Shalchus Rama, Simen Tes Zayin, Simen Mem Aleph, Mem Ches, Mem Tes, Nun, Kuf Chav Vav, Kuf Chav Zayin, the Rama defends his cousin and upholds the rights of his cousin to be the sole salesman of the Mishneh Torah. But the Maran Padua sort of whispered this concept to the Rama. It's born Charles Jules Rama Simon Sadi. V'soidi agala lecha. His cousin says, I will reveal my secret to you. Don't reveal it only to the modest. That sometimes I am noited to paskin based on the particular circumstance of Hefsid Meruba. It's an amazing concept, which every Rav today knows that halacha depends on the person's particular circumstance. What we take for granted today was the innovation of the Rama, that halacha looks carefully at a particular circumstance. That was the Rama's chiddush. And the truth is, many did not agree with him. His Talmud, Rav Chaim ben Betzal, the brother of the Maharal Prague, wrote a kuntras called Vikuach Mayim Rabim, where he has two tainos on the Rama. Taino number one is the fact that the Rama, he feels, breached his boundary. The Rama wanted to be mevatel to some extent Minhage Ashkenaz and replace it with Minhage Poland, with Polish Minhagim. And the brother Maram Rav, his Talmud, complained against that, that the Rama wanted to place Germany under the banner of Poland. If in Poland, says the brother Maram Ipag, they want to have their Minhagim, that's fine. But let the Germans maintain Minhag Avoseihem B'yadeihem. And the truth is, the Rama did succeed on some level of replacing Ashkenazic custom with Polish custom. But this was the debate between the Rama and his Talmud, the brother of the Maharal Prague. And furthermore, says the brother Maharal Prague, he doesn't agree with the extent that the Rama took the concept of being lenient, b'makoyim hefsid meruba. But ultimately, the opinion of the Rama stands ad hayoyim, that we are always makel, when one is able to, in a situation of hefsid meruba. Now, let me share with you a pshat that the Rama said. We don't have too many pshatim that the Rama said on Chumash. This is a pshat that the Chidah brings down in many mekoymos. And I'll tell you an incredible thing. In Parashas Vayishlach, Perek Lamed Vav Pasuk Chaf Beis, it says, Vayhi b'shkoin Yisrael ba'aretz ahi, when Yaakov was living in that land, Vayelech Ruvain went, Vayishgav es Bila. Literally, he lay with Bila, Pilegesh Aviv, the concubine of his father. Vayishma Yisrael, Yaakov heard. And then there's actually a piska, a pause in the pasuk, a space in the pasuk. And the pasuk ends, Vayiyu b'nei Yaakov, Shnei Masar, the sons of Yaakov were 12. We're all familiar with Rashi's interpretation. Rashi's interpretation is that Chas v'Shalom, Bilam did not, Reuven did not do anything wrong, based on the Gemara in Shabbos, Nun Hayamid Beis. It doesn't mean Chas v'Shalom, Reuven was Shachav in Bila. But Chazal say Reuven was mevalbel, he mixed the bed of Yaakov, because Yaakov primarily was housed in Rachel's tent, and when Rachel passed away, Yaakov moved the mita, he was going to move it to Bila's tent. And Reuven, the son of Leah, was jealous. He felt it wasn't right that his mother was being disparaged by being second fiddle to Bila. So he took the bed out of Bila's tent, and he put it in his mother Leah's tent. That's the simple interpretation of Chazal, which in a way is a very strong indictment against Reuven. True, he did not lie with Bila, but still he meddled in his father's affairs. Comes the Halakha Rama, and the Rama says an incredible pshat in this pasuk. Says the Chidah, the Rama says, Vayihi b'shkoin Yisrael ba'aretz ahi. Yaakov was living in that land. Vayelech Reuven, and you know what Reuven did? All he did was he walked. He was walking outside the room of Yaakov. When was he doing it? Vayishkav es Bila, and he lay with Bila, Pilegesh, the concubine. Who lay with Bila? Not Chas v'Shalom Reuven. Aviv, his father. Meaning at the time Yaakov was Shachav in Bila, Reuven was walking back and forth. Yaakov heard, And because of modesty, Yaakov refrained from having relations with Bilhah at that time. And because Yaakov refrained, so Reuven really didn't do anything wrong. He was just walking outside. But Vayishma Yisrael, Yaakov heard and he refrained. Says the Shas HaTshuvos, Rav Palma, the Ben Ishchai, based on this pshat of the Ramah, Chelek Bez Yordes and Mem Aleph, that's why there's a space in the Pasuk, because all Reuven did was, he interfered. He was Paska. He stopped Yaakov from the Maisa. So in other words, the Ramah is saying a pshat to be Melitz Toiv Ba'ad Reuven. Reuven was not Shachav. Reuven was not Mevalbel. All Reuven did was, Vayelech Reuven! When? Vayishkav es Bilhah! When someone was being Shachav and Bilhah. Who Aviv? Vayishma Yisrael, his father heard his footsteps. Says the Chida that we have a tradition that when the Halakha Ramah said this pshat to defend Reuven, Reuven came down to this world to give the Ramah a big hug and be machzik toiva to the Ramah. So we have his chus to say over the Torah of the Ramah on his yard site. The Ramah was a Talmud and son-in-law of the foremost Rosh Hashiva in Poland, Rav Shalom Shachna. And unfortunately, the Ramah's wife passed away at a young age, and the Ramah remarried the daughter of Mordechai Gershon Katz, who is the father of the She'eris Yosef. As we mentioned, Yidden come from all over the world to flock to the kever of the Ramah. And legend has it, even though it's probably not true, that the Ramah lived 33 years. He probably lived 52 years. And he wrote 33 Svarim, even though the number of Svarim that we're aware of does not add up to 33. And the Ramah was Nifter on the 33rd day of the Omer. And legend has it that at the Levaya of the Ramah, the Masbid was trying to say over 33 praises of the Ramah. And he got up to 32. And he's thinking, what could we say about the Halakha Ramah as the 33rd praise? And then he realized, somebody said, yes, you know, above and beyond all the godless of the Halakha Ramah, when Purim was over and people were a little tipsy, the Ramah would put on a mask and he would go from house to house knocking on the shutters, wearing a mask, saying, Reb Yid, don't forget to daven Maariv. So all of Klal Yisrael rests on Piskei Ramah, Piskei Ashkenaz, Meimav Anu Shoisim, from his great waters of Torah we drink till today. It's interesting, the Ramah wrote a Sefer Megillas Esther, Mechir Yayin, when there was a plague in Krakow, he had to go to a different city. Actually, the Ramah wrote the Mechir Yayin in 1556. He had to go to Shidlov because the waters were polluted. And the Ramah writes he couldn't even be Mekayim Sudas Purim. And he wrote Mechir Yayin. He wrote Mechir Yayin as a way of being Mekayim in the mitzvah of Simchas Purim. So we are eternally indebted to the great Ramah. And we hope today on Lag BaOmer, on his yard side, Zechusai Yagen Aleinu Va'al Kol Yisrael. Amen.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.